Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Don't Be Mad podcast. You are here, as always, with one of the hosts, Matthew Rivera, and my co-host,
Jason Elias. Another day, another podcast.
Yep. It's a beautiful Thursday in Montreal. A little bit chilly, but it hasn't been that bad.
It's a good summer. Well, now it's starting to get
shit
cold.
Summer for me.
Since you said the eclipse and everything like that, now everything is
screw the eclipse.
Getting cold.
Ruined everything. But today we're also joined by a special guest. If we can get her to the mic. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Lizette.
Yay. Hi, Lizette. Yay.
Thank you for having me.
You are most welcome. So today we're going to be talking about a bit of a sensitive subject, one that we felt we needed a female voice for, just to make sure it wasn't just a one-sided or felt like a one-dimensional approach to it. Essentially, we're going to be talking about sexual assaults and domestic violence and basically the accusations and how they affect both positively and negatively. Multiple situations.
People's career, basically how it could affect someone's personal life, professional life. And not a lot of people think about the repercussions of what happens to a person later on in life, what it can do for them. You never know what happens. We're going to talk about that in a little bit of detail. A very serious topic.
So today we're really going to be treading lightly on the things we say. Because we want to keep it just mainly information-based and essentially bring it to a point of understanding, obviously, of how serious it is, but in total, just how, if you're in your circles, how these type of situations could be spoken about. Because right now in the public eye, there have been multiple situations that have occurred where either information is limited and we're waiting to hear what exactly has been occurred. You get half the story from one side, you don't hear from the other side. And basically just setting up a line of how we can have these type of conversations, as well as the overarching whole of the story itself, where how do accusations affect the people involved, how accusations should be dealt with prior to any legal action being taken. And from there,
just can you continue on the conversation?
Yeah.
This is a good topic point, a good talking point for everyone. You know, if you know anyone that's going through a situation or you know of a situation, it's good to talk about these things. And probably by us talking about this, maybe there's something that for you guys who are listening, you know, you want to talk about with us, or if you have something that, you know, that's bothering you in regards to that, you know, that's a good way to reach out. You could say that. It's a good way to reach out.
Of course. Well, look, at the end of the day, we're not experts, but having the conversation brings out the conversation.
That's right.
And it, in some ways, help people come to terms and come to a point where they can speak out about what's happening with them, or in general, maybe we enlighten somebody to change their ways.
That's right. So I guess we could talk about a specific subject.
Well, we could begin with something that happened about 10 years ago, the Duke lacrosse team.
Well, it was the Duke lacrosse team, but mainly three men who were accused of sexually assaulting, raping a female at one of the dorm rooms at Duke University campus. Just to give a little backstory, well, not a real backstory, but a kind of summary of what happened is that they were falsely accused of rape because it just did not happen. And the person who, the female that accused them of rape was very inconsistent in her story. There was a lot of holes in the story, a lot of untruths and everything like that. There were witness accounts of what happened, of what didn't happen, and all that kind of things. And,
there was also a lack of physical evidence when it came to, you know, the kits that were done, the accounts for the story. Basically, I believe her name was
Crystal Magnum.
Crystal Magnum, exactly. And she was there for a party that was called for the night, and her friend were an escort. And her friend accounted for the fact that, you know, the situation definitely did not happen. And with the physical evidence supporting that, as well as the change in her story, you know, they were all acquitted of the situation. But, you know, there were a lot of affected people along the way, whether it be directly or indirectly. For example, you know, some of the heads of the lacrosse team had to resign, as well as, you know, villainization of the people who were involved. And there needs to be an understanding as to the severity of these kind of accusations and the type of life that someone has after that. Definitely.
Oh, 100% agree, because you get these situations where at the end of the day, when a victim comes forward and says that they've been sexually assaulted, the last thing you want to do is call them a liar.
Yeah.
You know? And at the end of the day, you want to make sure that all the facts are aligned, like the story is as straight as possibly can be before you set any type of judgment forward. But what happens is, in the judgment of public opinion, people just hear triggering words and they go forth with it. So what happened with the Duke lacrosse team was they figured a sports team, a bunch of young teenage guys just essentially using their athletic stardom to get what they want. And when they weren't given what they want, they took what they want, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate that that's the mindset a lot of people had as far as like vilifying, sending hate mail, and essentially putting these kids' lives in danger because of how they personally feel about this topic, which at the end of the day, like, you hear these accusations, yeah, you're going to have a very strong opinion about them, but you always want to remind yourself to be rational and logical about just making sure the way you feel isn't the way you lash out, because we still need to know the full account of what happened.
I think what it was is that because, you know, the whole frat culture of what goes on in the frat house, what do frat boys do, you know, the drinking, the partying, all that stuff. I think that played a big role in how people in the public came down quickly on the Duke lacrosse team specifically.
And that's the thing, for most people who view the frat life, they see it by how Hollywood has portrayed.
That's right, yeah.
You know, so just Hollywood shows it as a bunch of guys, or if it's a sorority, a bunch of women, they get a house.
Get
and
drunk.
All they do is party 24/7 and they make bad decisions. They do drugs. They do the same. But that's not the reality.
Yeah, that's not the reality. There is aspects. Story. There are aspects to that, which is which they're expecting. Oh, but course. I think Hollywood and TV really glorifies those parts compared to what actually does. Because frats do a lot of charity work. They do a lot of
course.
They do a lot of work. But there are aspects of.
But look, you know, at the end of the day, when you ask somebody, how do you feel about a frat or sorority? They'll give you the same spiel. Too much partying, too much drugs, too much hazing. You know, like, these are like the three main things that come up. They don't really look at the community side of what they do, or the fact that, like, to have your frat or sorority maintained, you have to be doing things within the community that are sanctioned by the school.
Yeah. And I think a level of the Hollywood aspect, as Jason had said, in fact, does glorify it. And some people do live up to those standards. And that's unfortunate fact, because, you know, monkey see, monkey do.
Well, of course. And yeah, like, you're going to have a situation where, like, a frat is going to want to have, like, this semester's most memorable party that everybody talks about, and it's going to end up having more people want to join them so then they can basically keep their chapter alive.
Yeah.
But in terms of the topic, it has a negative connotation because, like you said, right now it's this team clubhouse. You mm-hmm. know, it's a team of guys where, you know, they're athletic, you know that what they do garners a bit of attention from whatever crowd it may be. And because of that, people went and vilified these guys before they had all the facts, which is problematic based on the simple accusations that came out to be false.
Yeah. And I think at a certain point, though, your actions do have to, it kind of gives you a story behind the fact that, you know, your actions do speak louder. So, you know, these guys went out, they wanted to have like this epic party, and this in itself is what got them in hot water. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're villains in themselves, but your actions do kind of repercuss as to,
of course,
you know, what happens.
At the end of the day, you have to have some sense of accountability.
Yeah. And I mean, there was one email that was sent, and I know that this is a very minor thing, but there are certain words that were stated. I believe the email said, to whom it may concern, tomorrow night after tonight's show, I've decided to have some strippers over to Eden. All are welcome. However, there is no nudity. I plan on killing bitches as soon as they walk in and proceeding to cut their skin off. While we're not going to finish the rest of that sentence.
No need.
Right? So that whole, even though they were.
Weird thing to say.
You know, it's a very weird thing to say. And that kind of speaks towards that ideology of Hollywood and how it comes to play. And I mean, the aspect of the fact that they were actually quoting a movie. I can't remember what movie it was, but they'd quoted a movie, and that's what got them in a lot of hot water,
yeah,
is from that aspect of it, even though that they weren't actually involved. And it is very important to have all of the facts. You know, some people say things out of anger. You know, we've all had, you know, friends or people close to us who've been in hot water because of what they've said. They've never acted on it.
Of course. Definitely. Like, just being in the wrong place.
Wrong time.
Wrong time type of situation where you felt like, maybe if I just missed that bus, I wouldn't be in this shit right now. You know, like something that's, I'm oversimplifying, obviously, but just to give like a sense of like the type of idea that we're going with.
Well, that's the main thing you're saying there. Just don't get yourself put in that. Don't get yourself into situations that anything bad could happen. I think the main thing is that people need to tread very lightly, especially when it comes to, I wouldn't say necessarily interaction between male and female, but the situation that you're in.
Well, at the end of the day, you got to be very aware of the surroundings you're in.
And got to be really respectful with the people that you're around as well. Be people that you trust, people that in your circle, so that way if something does happen that's false, it could be a rape allegation or an assault or any fight that breaks out.
It's always good to have somebody that's just a responsible, accountable person
who can
keep an eye on things. You know, like if they see something getting a bit out of hand, they take that authoritative stance to just be like, you know what, like you got to leave or this can't happen, you know, or if need be, like they be the one who calls the cops and make sure they have a handle on the overarching situation, which is going on. You know, like you're having a party where you're inviting multiple people, like good chance there's going to be people there you don't know.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that you've invited strippers over.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that at the end of the day, everyone that you do know and is accountable for everybody that they know. But above all that, there's one person who has that final say. So when they say, no, this can't happen, you have to go, that's it, that's all.
But I would even question the judgment. Like, why have strippers?
We're talking about college kids here.
College kids, exactly.
But for sure, he had a hookup. Like, somebody gave him a phone number where he could get the strippers.
And because even if you know, if we're like, if we're in Montreal here, we're doing that here today, I know something was, I just before it happens, no, we
but
know something.
You got to also think in the mind of a college student, right?
Yeah. Like, or a university student. Well, I was a college student.
it's all about having those bragging rights at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So if you're the guy who brought the strippers, right away, you're going up at least 3 points on the board, you know?
I think they were following the Hollywood motto, thinking something might happen.
Of course. I'm not saying they weren't. Like, they were looking at, we're going to create the most epic party that anybody's ever seen. Like, Duke is going to talk about this for years to come. People who weren't there are going to regret it.
Yeah.
And that, like, I can completely understand that. But as I'm saying, it's at the end of the day, you have to make sure that if you're going to do something on that scale, you have people that are going to be accountable for everyone that's there, and then somebody who's just going to be like that mother hen or that father figure who's just like, you know what, no, like this can't go, like there's rules in place, it has to be maintained, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to speak about another specific issue with Brian Banks, the high schooler who was accused of rape, and he actually took the charges for the rape, so he served time in jail for
took a plea.
Served time. He was falsely accused of rape. So essentially his high school career, his college career, which never even happened, was done. Couldn't do anything. And the whole situation with Brian Banks is he confronted the woman who had accused him of rape and got her actually on film with a hidden camera admitting that she was lying and she only did it for the money. And once he brought that information to the judge, you know, he was exonerated. He wasn't able, obviously, to pursue his career. He was given the chance by the coach that actually chose him out of high school to actually try out for the Seahawks when he got out of jail. And he was given the chance. He played a couple games here and there, but nothing major like a regular season game, but more of a preseason game. And his career was kind of like, he had such a big detrimental effect on his career as someone who,
like his playing career at least, because he currently works in like the NFL LA office.
Yeah, in the LA office in the NFL. Yeah. But when you want to be a football player. Yeah,
obviously, like you'd rather be on the field than behind a computer desk, you know? Like, yeah, it's just that situation where you have a kid at 16 years old who basically his life was completely shifted because of one woman's false claims.
Yeah. And it's really bad too, especially this is for the women's side. I forgot her name, but for the woman's side, she makes it bad for women in these in making these accusations, because it's making it to the effect as if
Wynette Gibbons,
that's her name, right? Gibson. Wynette Gibson. Yeah, that's her name. Okay. And whatever her name is, she doesn't count. She lied. She lied. We don't care what she is. She's a liar. Whatever the case is, she did it for the money. I think they had paid her $1 million something in damages to school where that happened, where the claim happened. And she blew through the money. She's being sued by the school to pay it back, and she can't pay it back.
Sued by the school, and also being sued by Brian Banks, because I believe he's was going to get $2.6 million from her because of the false accusation.
That's right. And that's...
But continuing on the idea that you started, yeah, like, when you have these type of situations where you have a false accusation that's made against an innocent person, it makes it hard for other people to be unbiased and objective towards other accusations, because you have those people who will just look at it and say, if the story is completely far-fetched, or if they have any ounce of inkling, like, you went out of your way and didn't protect yourself in every way, they turn around and use that as a reason to shame the victim, which is bad in itself.
And in regards to, like, any sort of charges against rape has always been hard on a woman, right? Yeah. They always put the mentality that, you know, you kind of asked for it and stuff like that. So anybody who goes out and uses this for their own personal benefit and calls a false claim makes it that much harder on anybody else. And I mean, the percentage of people who actually claim the actual rapes that happen is less than, like, I believe the percentage is like something like 40% of them. I could be horribly wrong in regards to that, that don't get claimed. Yeah, we have to fact check that after. But I mean, there's a higher percentage of people who don't actually claim their rape, and it makes it harder for those people, because then they turn around and they say, well, there's no point in me going out because it's going to be that much harder and I have to relive through this, you know?
Well, one of the hardest things that a lot of the victims have to deal with is once they like file a claim and make the accusation public, it's the character attack that happens to them.
Yeah.
You know, and in almost every single case, the one thing that the defense will do in order to protect their person is call the witness's character into question. And it's no longer just about, okay, what was the situation that happened that moment where the accusations are being brought into question? It's what happened prior to it. And then on top of that, what type of lifestyle do you lead? So when you have somebody who wants to come forward, but they're afraid now that who they are as a person is what's going to be put on trial rather than what they're saying happened to them, it makes it harder for them. Mm-hmm. And it's sad, really, because if we didn't look at it as we have to figure out if you're this squeaky clean person to believe that what you said is true, you would have a lot more situations where women, whether it's sexual assault or domestic violence, being willing to come forward because they would believe that the system is actually behind them and
they would have trust
to protect them and literally like protect them and find out what exactly went wrong before there's any type of judgment passed. But that's not what happens.
Yeah. And the unfortunate fact is sexual assault is there's no bias. Like there's no racial discrimination. There's no bias towards how it happened. So you could have a party girl's lifestyle and still end up in that situation, and you could be squeaky clean and still end up in that situation.
Exactly.
And, you know?
And that's the thing. It's, especially when it comes to, like we're saying with the Duke lacrosse team, where we're looking at this football player now, or you had another situation with Freddie Gibbs when he was in Austria. The type of person that's being accused and then the type of person that's going, like doing the accusing, is always brought up into question. So you'll have those that'll be like, oh, this is a guy on a sports team, he can't be trusted. Or it'll be like, oh, this is a girl who parties, she can't be trusted. And it's more of people just not just sitting down and saying, okay, well, what exactly are the facts? It's them just being like, tell me what type of person this guy is.
Or and we'll
this
judge woman it is. Off of that.
Exactly. And then that will be where I put my placement in, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's really shameful that that's where society has gone with this as far as like the judgment of public opinion, because we're completely losing sight of why we have the system in place to begin with. It's not to say you're guilty until proven innocent. It's the complete opposite. But at the end of the day, we have to make sure that everything that is spoken about when the accusation is made is taken into account before we pass any type of judgment on who they are as a person.
I want to bring into something specifically. It goes into the topic of Brock Turner, where there was a situation with him now.
Known sexual assaulter.
A known sexual assaulter. So let me give everyone a little bit.
Multiple witnesses.
What happened is that he was caught sexually assaulting this girl behind a dumpster of wherever school they're from. And he got caught by a couple of people. The thing is, you would expect someone like that to go to jail for
well, a bit more years. On how it happened. Basically, like, there was a party.
It was a party. Happening, like, as
the
usual.
Girl was a bit intoxicated.
Yeah.
And he found her intoxicated and brought her into the alley where he decided to sexually assault her. And then I believe there was two people. I don't know if they were a part of the party, if they're jogging or whatever.
But they were there. They were walking
two
by.
Two guys basically heard a struggle happening. Mm-hmm. And they were able to fight Brock off. Like, I believe they punched him in the face a couple times. He, like, suffered a broken nose, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But if those two men hadn't come, the situation could have been so much worse for this woman who...
Because she was passed out, didn't know what was going on.
Wouldn't have known what happened to her because of her state.
And the thing was, what made this more egregious is that he only got 3 months. It was 6 months, but because of good behavior, he got 3 months because the judge decided that, it would affect his career in the long run.
Yeah, his career and his future.
His career and his future in the long run.
He shouldn't have to go through such a traumatizing situation as a proper prison sentence for the crime he committed.
And, you know, for any woman that's hearing this, they're probably like saying, like, what the hell is going on? It's a kind of a bad double standard.
It's completely disgusting, but that was a judge's judgment call where... As a judge, you would think that in cases like this, where it's so clear the violator is completely wrong because there's multiple witnesses there, you shouldn't have a problem handing out the proper sentence for this student who did something wrong.
That calls into the system, like, because he does come from money and he is well known as well. So I'm not too sure about this, but don't quote me. I'm not sure if the
allegedly.
I'm not sure if the judge. I'm not sure if the judge and him they went to the same frat or they're part of the same fraternity. So that's why he came down really softly on him. I can't be certain about that, so don't quote me on it. But if that's the case, you shouldn't be a judge. You shouldn't be doing
this. No, of course not.
That's terrible.
Because here you have a situation where the person who was assaulted wasn't even able to make the accusation themselves. Like, they had to have the witnesses come forward and basically say exactly, like, give the full account of what happened, how they were involved.
Yeah.
So you have two people who are... Basically, there's absolutely no way you can go against what they said because all the evidence of them fighting Brock off of this woman, saving her from what he was about to do. As a judge, you got to look at that and be like, look, we don't want people like Brock doing things like this. Mm-hmm. You have to come down hard. You have to give the full sentence. And there's no leniency for something like this. So for you to turn around and especially if you're going to say, we don't want to ruin his life or his career. Like, what about the woman who was sexually assaulted? What about her life and her career? What about the traumatization that she's going to have to go through now? Because
her entire life is ripped apart.
Like, you've essentially violated her life. And then to then spit on top of her again by saying, well, we're going to reduce her violator's sentence because it's going to be hard for him.
And in coming down hard on these people, it also creates an environment where maybe this is not acceptable because at the current moment, the way that the environment is in regards to, you know, men and women interaction and the consent aspect of it, it's kind of wishy-washy. Like, there's no actual, a lot of people feel that there's no need for that. So if this judge actually came down and gave him the sentence because there was all of the evidence in the world to turn around and prove that he was genuinely looking to do this and that it wasn't, you know, just
he was caught in the process of it.
You know, admitted
to it.
Yeah. It creates a level of fear that maybe we shouldn't be approaching that. And that in itself will help improve the entire look of.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, if you look at it, if you know that people who have been caught where the facts have all been laid out, witnesses have been there that, you sexually assaulted and then you get the proper sentence that you're deserved of, that in itself will deter people. Not saying it will eliminate it completely, but it will deter someone because they'll be like, you know what? Maybe they live in the same area. They would face the same judge. So in their mind, they're like, you know what? I won't do this.
Yeah.
You know, and like maybe they'll just have that second thought, no matter how drunk they are or if they're sober, like regardless of what their situation is, just knowing that where they are, where they live,
or they could be reprimanded for their actions.
Even if you don't live there, but you've seen this story and how somebody literally ruined their life trying to take away somebody else's their sanctity and like their body, you know, having that happen can deter someone else. But if you're seeing leniency being shown to somebody who's doing something so egregious, why exactly would I hold back then? You know?
This is why I say for anything that of that nature, like it could be from sexual assault to even pedophiles and everything like that, give them the max from the start. Give them the max. You get caught and for sure, no, you know, evidence is there. Witnesses are there. You have the proof. Give them the max.
Personality murder, basically.
And once you do that, you're going to see how everything's going to be drastically drop. Because people are going to either stop and because they don't want to get caught. They don't want to go to jail. If the laws were enforced more strictly and in those situations, a lot of that would stop. Then again, you're dealing with people who politics with law and everything. So you never know what might happen. But yeah, you need to give these people the max to basically make an example of them. You have to make an example of these people who commit all these kind of crimes, because it's like if you're coming out in like 6 months to 2 years, they're like, oh, OK, I'll wait it out in jail. That's nothing for them. And they'll probably most likely do it over again. In his case, Brock Turner, he's now a registered sex offender. So let's hope that he never gets a job again. And
okay, I'm not going to hope that, but
well, I hope that on people who do bad things, people who do bad things. I hope the bad happens to you. That's a personality trait of myself.
All Jason.
That's Jason. I'm saying that's Jason.
That's all Jason.
People who do bad, you deserve.
I'm hoping even though he got a very undeserved lenient sentence, that he comes out of this and tries to rehabilitate himself and actually do something for society that's actually positive, even though he doesn't deserve it. At the end of the day, it's like, let's take something out of this where you can be positive. And who knows? Maybe he won't.
You're a nicer person than I am. I am a nicer person.
Look, I'm a firm believer in, you know, you're going to take your licks as they come. He didn't get his licks in the way he deserved, but take that opportunity where someone showed leniency to you, that you actually come out of this and do something better than you ever could have been considering.
Or what people expected of you.
Exactly.
And the thing is, I'm not a big religious person, but I know the Bible does say an eye for an eye. So if you commit that crime and, you know,
you can't play that.
Yes, I can play that.
As no, a non-religious person, you
can't. No.
I didn't say I was non-religious. No. I said I'm not very religious.
Don't even finish that thought. No.
People know where I'm going with that.
No. We're not finishing that thought. We're going to move it along.
No, I'm with Matthew on that one. I think at a certain point, as much as, you know, there's a level of anger towards these people who are so disgusting and technically evil in even thinking that they can get away or do something of the sorts, because, you know, there's a certain level of human connection that is obviously lacking for him to have gone ahead and do that. You would hope that, you know, the rehab situation would happen, because then that would prove that people are always out for the better.
Look,
and I am a religious person.
It's an opportunity too, where you can have him go to places where he can just speak as somebody who essentially got lucky with his situation. Mm-hmm. Not that, you know, it's a good thing he got lucky, but just being like, look, there, I got an opportunity where I shouldn't have had one, and use that as
a lesson
platform
to teach.
Yeah, to teach others to be informative and talk about not being in sexual assault and help others just get that knowledge, because
consent and all of that aspect.
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, not many people are going to get that type of opportunity that he got. They don't deserve to. But if he just comes out of jail and just goes back to his regular life like nothing happened, it's a waste of time for everyone.
Well, it's to take a look at like the I forgot the names of the people here. Freddie Gibbs, as well as Brian Banks and stuff like that, they all work within, as well as some of the members of the Global Cross team. They now work in regards to a nonprofit that talks in regards to those type of aspects of abuse and all of that, you know?
Exactly. So where do we go from here?
Where do you go from here?
Well, biggest thing I feel as a takeaway is, you know, talking about such a sensitive subject is just the reminder that, you know, we will hear other stories in the future come up. And it's that reminder of trying not to jump to judgment on either side until we know as much as we can possibly know.
Yeah, it's a general thing of understanding is that don't leap into action. Listen to what people have to say. Listen to their side of the story, first of all. Get all the information that you need. Then make an informative judgment of what that person either did or did not do. Police officers, do your work. Investigate, see, get all the facts out because you never
know.
We're
not going to investigate because...
Well, not us personally, but
at the end of the day, it's the reminder of there's three sides to every story. You know, like there's your side, my side, and the truth. Mm-hmm. So until you hear both sides, or even if you don't get the chance to hear both sides, at the very least, allow benefit of the doubt to happen, or don't just assume that the person who's making the accusation is a liar, you know? Like, you got to be mindful of these type of situations don't just come up out of thin air unless we know for a fact that they were lies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because the worst thing you can do is say that somebody who was actually sexually assaulted or had domestic violence against them is a liar.
Yeah.
Because then when it comes out that it actually did happen, you're looking like a dickhead.
And it's a credibility thing as well. I think people need to crack down on a lot of people who make a lot of false accusations because you never know how that could affect someone's career. You never know. It could be life in general. Like that accusation can make someone, regardless if it's man or woman, they could go into a certain depression. They can lose everything, could lose their family. It affects everything
also,
around them.
If you are somebody who has gone through any type of situation, whether it be sexual assault or domestic violence, finding somebody to talk to is a big thing. It's a hard thing, but it's very necessary.
It's always good when you talk about your problems, regardless of what it is, especially because of something like domestic violence and assault or anything like that. You try to get to someone or any information centers that you can, so that it can help you with either your situation or a situation of someone you know, and just be informed as much as possible.
Well, look, there are hotlines out there that we'll put in the description when we send out this episode.
Yeah.
And I mean, either you have the hotlines, you have family members, maybe there's someone you trust, a good friend, maybe even a therapist, like whoever it may be. But just knowing that the first step towards healing and getting beyond this is the conversation and bringing it to the light. Because if you just allow it to stay in the darkness, then you'll never get to a point of overcoming, and essentially it'll just keep happening.
And I think it's really important that another takeaway would be a matter of really having that conversation as a whole, whether it be on one side or the other, the accusee or the accuser, someone being involved in sexual assault or being accused of sexual assault. It's really important to understand that there's consent and that, you know, we need to be able to have a level of understanding of how we interact with one another and that there's a level of respect for that.
Of course.
A lot of those people don't want to come forward because there's such a lack of understanding and people think that it's understood that it was provoked on their side.
They'll say, well, what did you do? Or
exactly.
Or in something like, oh, you deserve it. Like, which is some of the worst things you could possibly say to somebody who's actually coming out to you and trying to like bare their soul to you.
And to be able to have these people come out and have a conversation, because it is a very grave situation for someone to come out of. And as you said, it can really bring down their entire personality and make them a shell of a person to be able to, in having that, it will allow for people to come out and have those conversations. And, you know, I was right about the 40%. It's ever out of 100, not 40%, but out of 100 rapes in Canada or sexual assaults in Canada, only 6 are ever reported to the police officer. Yeah. As a whole. So in actually having a level of understanding for consent and things like that, it'll allow for people to come out and have the conversations with their family members. You know, a lot of these things will either be, you know, more reported or minimized as a whole, because people will understand the gravity of their actions if they go ahead and proceed with the sexual assault, you know?
I 100% agree. All right, so do we have anything else to add to this, or do we feel like we've hit all the marks that we needed to hit?
I think we hit all the buttons today. We had a good conversation, good, important conversation that I needed to have. I hope we got some information out there that people can use in the future. You know, all I can say is have a conversation with someone that's close to you, that if you are experiencing something like that, domestic violence, just have that conversation, seek help. And don't think that,
don't be afraid
to seek help. That's the main thing.
One of the worst things we can do to ourselves is feel like we have to deal with it on our own and we have to internalize it. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help your mental health and it doesn't help the situation that you may be in. At the end of the day, there are professionals out there for a reason. It's to help you. It's to make sure that you can get through this and know that you're not alone. Know that you're not the only person who has suffered in this way and that there are other people who can be by your side in this time. So do what you need to do to make sure that you put yourself in the safest and most prosperous situation where these things don't happen to you anymore.
That's right. I guess that's it.
All right. Well, so, I would like to thank Lizette for being our special female voice today.
Yay, Lizette. Lizette is actually the community manager for the website for the Connect.ca. So she is going to be handling everything when it comes to the forms. So no pressure.
No pressure at all. I look forward to speaking with each and every one of you.
All right.
Anything where they can reach you or if you want them to reach you?
I am actually creating my own professional page, but I'll pass it along to you once it's actually up and set.
Basically, she doesn't want you bum-ass boys DMing her.
Maybe. No, that's not true. I do have a Facebook page that I'm in the process of building. No Twitter. I am very offline at the current moment, but eventually I will be online.
Because she don't want your dusty ass DMs.
Jason can share it with you another day.
You ashy ass motherfucker.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the podcast.
Such a pleasure.
Hope to have you on for more episodes. You will be requested to come back on, I guarantee you.
We have very female-specific things where we just need that voice.
Even then.
We'll just like bang on your door until you answer.
You know where I live.
Like, we're recording now. Where are you?
So, as usual, you guys, you can reach us at theconnect.ca. That's the website. I think we're going to probably maybe continue this conversation more on the forums well to really, you know, to really start a giant conversation.
Whether it's in the forums or if you email us at don'tbemad@theconnect.ca or even if you go to like our Facebook page as well.
Don't be mad. Sorry.
Don't be mad podcast.
I'm choking. Sorry.
On Facebook. Don't die on us, please.
Sorry about that.
Not yet.
Yeah. So you could reach us at the Facebook page or at the Twitter handle at don't be mad pod.
Don't be mad pod.
And link us up if you have something you want to say, something hilarious, something serious.
Always available for a chat.
That's right.
Any topics. Yeah, you can have some topics.
Email us some questions. Email us some love. Email us some hate. I mean,
I'll accept the hate. Don't worry about that.
Jason deals with hate. I only deal with love.
I can deal with the hate stuff, so don't worry about it.
I'm Zen. He's chaos.
I'm not evil. People think I'm evil now.
You're like Bane. You were born in the darkness.
Theatricalities. No. But yeah, everyone, thank you so much again for listening. And have a great week. And
hey, Twitter handles.
A great long weekend. Yes, it is a holiday, right?
Last long weekend.
Oh, yeah, Labor Day.
Labor Day, yeah.
Oh, I am getting drunk.
That means a lot of people are going to clubs here, most likely Tokyo, because they don't have to go to work.
I'm definitely not going to Tokyo.
Too old for that.
Yeah, so our Twitter handles, my Twitter handle is at JJNBA. Those are all letters.
And mine is at LeftyLucky_.
So thank you again, everyone, and we will see you next week, hopefully.
Thanks for listening. Take care, everyone.
Love. Peace. You.